Warning: the boys have little experience in research and no experience in comedy. While we hope you learned something from today's episode, the cases presented are not meant to be the full story. Sources are included in the episode description because God knows the boys did a terrible job of explaining it.
And we're back.
Sorry.
And we're back.
In black.
Welcome to Boys on the Case, an investigative comedy podcast. My name is Sheriff John.
I am Deputy Karaoke.
And with us, we have...
Oh, that's me. It's Lawman Johnson back from retirement.
It's Lawman Johnson. He's back from retirement. He thought he solved crimes.
And it turns out, that's hard to do.
Yeah. And so he's back.
He should have declared war on crime.
And he's more Johnson-y than ever.
Guys, we know broken windows is the way to go.
Yes.
I don't think I catch that reference,
Broken windows policing, like, you know, law enforcement in that way and not challenging any systemic change.
Sorry,
anyway,
I'm white passing. I don't think about police.
That's fair.
I have no excuse. I'm a bad black person.
I'll let y'all discuss this. I really don't.
No, chime in. All right, no, go ahead.
That's a trap, I feel like.
Oh, come on, you're welcome. This is the cookout.
Yeah, yeah. You finally made it, John.
Okay, well, if Barack was...
Damn. You got it, and then you lost it, just like that.
This is my new character thing where I know my place in race discussions, but if you do open the floor to me, I'm going to say some really whack racist shit. Well, John, what do you think? Well, I just, you know, this doesn't really concern my ethnicity, and I feel like it's not my place to talk. I should listen and do my own research so I can be aware of the situation, but not inject my voice to places not wanted. No, I insist.
Wait.
All right, well, if you look at crime rates...
Like bringing your one white friend to the cookout, and then you leave them alone for 1 second, and they're like, hey, get your friend. What happened?
In the background, you just hear, I think anyone can say
it.
Well, before we get into the show in earnest, speaking of black people.
Dear God, what?
That's the episode title. I had a headline come my way, and I was like, I don't think that's real. So I did some research, and apparently it is real.
Uh-oh.
I don't know when this happened, but Will Smith wrote a memoir. I don't think this is new.
It like within the past couple of weeks.
Okay. Oh, okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. There's some juicy shit in here. He named it Will.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of boring, yep. But there was one part in it. There's some other stuff, like he hated Tupac or whatever. You know, things like that.
Well, yeah. Just decided to think for a moment.
But there's one that really caught my attention. I'm gonna kind of read this article, but I'm going to skim it. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. In his memoir, Smith speaks candidly about his views on family, acting, and how he treated various relationships he had in his life. Some of the information that he reveals in the book is sure to shock fans who only see him as the squeaky clean A-lister actor they've come to know and love. What's y'all's guess? What do you think he admitted to doing?
Drugs, obviously.
I'd be better staying up past his bedtime. I mean, we already know the entanglement story. So.
Y'all can't guess it. I know you can't because it says, one revelation is that at 16 years old, after his first serious girlfriend cheated on him, he went full quote-unquote ghetto hyena and had sex with so many women it made him want to vomit.
I remember hearing that.
He said, up until this point in my life, I'd only had sex with one woman other than, what is it, Melanie? Yeah. But over the next few months, I went full ghetto hyena. He continued, I desperately needed relief, but as there's no bill for heartbreak, I resorted to homeopathic remedies of shopping and rampant sexual intercourse. I had sex with so many women, and it was so constitutionally disagreeable to the core of my being that I developed a psychosomatic reaction to having an orgasm. It would literally make me gag and sometimes vomit. So if you think you're a real fucking sexy guy, you've never come so much that you threw up.
Okay.
And you'll never have as much sex as Will Smith.
You're spewing out of both heads.
Now, let's just pretend we're there.
Okay. Dayson, I'm glad you're here this week. because I have a question. Negro to Negro.
Brother to brother.
Brother to brother. Is ghetto hyena a term?
I'm so glad y'all are having
did
this conversation.
Did I miss that?
I didn't get this month's issue of Negro Domus. But
okay,
you know,
all right. If it wasn't mentioned in the Boondocks, I probably missed it, okay? That's not something we say.
No, that's not an ethnic term.
No.
I mean, it could be viewed as well. Like, if you call some brothers, you know, some ghetto height, I can't guarantee your safety, but
you know, the bad news is that now there's probably a lot of people who think it is, because there's a lot of people whose only window into black culture is things Will Smith says. Yeah. Which is deeply unfortunate, but probably the case.
Well,
there are people out there who are like, well, I saw After Earth and I've eaten at a KFC once, so I think I understand black culture.
Well, I guess the person before that was that they looked to was Kanye, and he kind of just went all over the
map.
Oh,
boy, yeah.
So,
well,
that's not great.
It could be worse.
But what do y'all think about nutting so much you vomit? What's everyone? Let's do a temperature check
okay
of the room.
All right. Jason?
Well, I mean, I feel like if anything, this is just inspiration for Destroy Dick December next month, but we just got to get ready.
That's yeah true. We got to get ready.
We got to be puking, boys, all on both heads. We got to be puking.
Honestly, if you climax so hard that you get a tummy ache.
It's not hard. It's so much.
So much.
He
that you get
so much
you
sex.
Empty out so bad that you puke. That must be a good nut. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So here's my thing. I can believe the idea of having a psychosomatic reaction
right
that could induce vomiting, okay, right? Because psychosomatic stuff is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And until someone sends in a question about it, I'm not going to understand it. I don't understand where it comes in that he had too much sex, right? Because he claims that's the trigger. I got so much fucking tang that I vomited.
So does he know what the number is? Like, how many times he's got to do it?
It didn't say.
Oh.
It didn't say.
Well, it's not a good memoir then.
Apparently. Either that or Yahoo News didn't think that this was necessary. Yahoo News reported it based on something BuzzFeed said. And I was like,
wow. Oh, love it.
We're really in there, yeah, huh?
Deadline journalism, boys.
And, well, it's kind of hard to find an article about a celebrity that's from a site that's not called, like, Hot Buzz Today.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
well, welcome to Boys on the Case, the investigative comedy podcast, where you, the listener, send us, the boys, questions to answer to the best of our ability. This week, it is my turn to answer a question.
Boo.
And what?
Boo.
What?
No, I like Jeremy Weeks. I don't have to do anything.
Wow. Okay. Well, today's question is from Basir's sister, Asara.
Oh,
if you're listening, hi. Thanks for being a fan. Here's her question. Dear boys, where did all the serial killers go? Has there been a decline in serial killing activity, or are we just not hearing about it? Can you tell us about any serial killer conspiracy? Thanks.
So I think we should address the elephant in the room, and that is Atlanta was supposed to have a new serial killer.
Really?
The Piedmont killer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then that just went nowhere.
Right.
Nowhere. And everyone was low-key disappointed.
Disappointed? I don't know if that's the word.
I feel like people were disappointed.
Oh, no.
I feel like, because, I mean, it just kind of left the popular zeitgeist. But,
uh-huh,
like, mind you, you know, what we just got over talking about, like, Gabby Petito's boyfriend as if he's, like, some, you know, malicious supervillain.
I was so confused by that because I didn't know what was happening, and I just saw people throwing names around. And I was like, oh, are these, like, famous people I didn't know about?
Nope.
And Lucy was like, no, it's just like a potential murder case that people have for some reason gotten
just
really excited
about. Yeah.
Out of the 80,000 people that die every year.
Right. And I'm only callous about it because so many people go missing, and it's just, you know, missing white girl syndrome, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they come up later.
Oh, good.
They have their own chapter.
But we'll get to that.
Jeremy, can I ask you a question?
What's up?
Who would you serial kill?
Who would I serial kill?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the good news is there's no good answer to this.
No.
You're going to look bad no matter what you say.
Probably people that call me trying to sell something.
Ooh, okay. Mm. Salespeople?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. People who call me specifically. Like, I didn't put my name in any database. I didn't sign up for no newsletter. Just call me and just like, hey, do you want to stay at the Hilton for like 3 nights this weekend? I'm just like,
Who are you?
Sure.
Why?
Dason, no. Same question.
Who would I serial kill?
Who would you serial kill?
Man.
And the good news is that we can, if you give a terrible answer, we could just pretend like we did it for the first time.
You know, that's very true. That is very true. But no. No, if I had to serial kill anybody, at least if I get to choose how I serial kill people, it's people who don't use their blinkers, especially in Atlanta. Traffic's already terrible enough. But if I had like this, just a little BB gun, just one of the tires real quick, you know.
Right. No, gun check.
You know what I saw the other day?
The BB gun killer.
Oh, my. Some people, apparently this is the thing that people do. They'll open up their sunroof if somebody's riding their ass too close. They'll open up their sunroof and they'll like towing costs like a quarter through it, and it'll fly back and like dink their windshield.
Dang.
I saw on an episode of Conan that Ice Cube allegedly threw batteries at people.
Ooh, even better.
And Conan was like, that seems a little aggressive, right? And Ice Cube was like, Conan, I used to kill people.
I see people always forget. Like, I was on TikTok last night and there was like a throwback clip of like Snoop's murder trial in the 90s. And people were like, what?
Oh,
well, Snoop,
God.
No, he's young, wild, and free.
Like, there was a brief period in time in which being a popular rapper meant you were also accused of murder at some point.
Yeah, before you do the family movies.
Yeah, exactly. Before Are We There Yet, too.
Right.
It had to be murder. All right, sorry, Jeremy.
Okay,
go
no,
ahead.
You're good.
Also,
you're good.
I would serial kill myself. Go ahead with your question.
Oh my God.
Wait, well, we can't breeze past that.
No, it requires multidimensional travel.
Oh, so you kill multiple versions of yourself.
Yeah, from across the timeline.
Okay, so then it works.
Exactly.
From what I saw, the definition of a serial killer is usually four or more victims.
Oh, okay.
But it's like debatable. People argue with it. Anyways, Asara's question is actually three questions rolled into one. But
yeah,
we're gonna take them. We're gonna take them one at a time.
Nice
starting
try.
With, where did all the serial killers go?
I didn't realize. I read this question. And I was like, "Is that true? Are they gone?
Are we safe?
Yeah. Did we beat them? I wasn't aware."
So serial murder, often referred to as serial killing, began to take off in the late 1960s, according to historian Peter Vronsky. Of the 2,604 serial killers in the U.S. during the 20th century, 89.5% appeared between 1950 and 1999. 88% of those were during the peak years between 1970 and 1999. These were often referred to as the epidemic years. So you have your famous ones like Ted Bundy, the Zodiac Killer, whatever. Serial killers throughout history have been called by many names. In the Renaissance period in Europe, what we now know as serial killers were often referred to as werewolves or other supernatural beings.
That's so unhelpful.
It is.
Careful, there's a vampire out.
Well, no, because I mean, if you think about it, like people's like, I guess, what's a good name for it? The like, surnames that they get, like people call them like the Gray Wolf of the West or something like
yeah.
that.
Oh,
like people's
titles.
Yeah,
or like honorifics.
Well, I can see how that can give credence to that, but I don't know if that's tied in.
From what I read, it was largely due to the fact that people couldn't conceptualize that some humans are just fucking evil.
Which is wild because I would say up until like the past couple hundred years, you could just like do a lot of really awful stuff and people would be like, men.
Right, right.
that's weird. That didn't cross their mind.
So, none of the modern era serial killers came close to history's potentially first ever serial killer, Gilles Deray. Deray. It's a French name. I'm just going to call him Gilles.
Gilles Deray.
In the early 1400s, Gilles fought alongside Joan of Arc in the Hundred Years' War.
Ooh, wow. Good for him.
Yeah. he was actually assigned to watch over her during battle and was awarded France's highest military distinction in 1429. As a result, dude became dummy rich and led an extravagant life at the disdain of his family members.
So he could finally do what he loved.
Yeah. But he started like living like a really like expensive life.
Yeah.
And then he started selling family lands to pay for his shit.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like Nick Cage.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Oh, Nick Cage allegedly has like a spending problem. That's why he's in so many movies.
Oh.
He just spends too much money and he can't.
Damn, son.
Yeah.
You think he'll come on the pod if we pay him?
Yeah, but like it would be a lot of money.
We gotta have some commas in there. I promise a bill.
Damn.
Let's start a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
$1 million, and we get engaged on the show.
Just imagine him walking up to my room.
Hey,
I'm here for the podcast.
Hey, yeah, come on right in.
Yeah, come in, Nick.
You want a White Claw?
No, thanks. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
But anyways, in 1433, Gilles suddenly became concerned with his own salvation and paid for the construction of a church called, quote, Chapel of the Holy Innocents, which is a theme that comes up in a second. Now, in the 1400s, around that time, it was normal for families to send their children off with priests and church folk and never see them again.
Uh-oh. Oh,
right.
Like, because if you're a poor family in Europe, you don't have, like, the means to take care of a bunch of kids.
And if you're poor family here, your kids probably just disappear constantly.
Yeah. So, like,
I bet that's not a wild event for a kid to just not come
home. And it's, like, usually, like, the church would take them, raise them as, like, priests or, like, just handymen for the church or whatever. So, like, it was like, okay, they might have a good life if we send them out and never see them again. But not this time. As I was reading about this, I began to visualize Gilles as R. Kelly, and it started making a lot more sense.
So
Gilles had a boys' choir that he handpicked each member of, which wasn't totally unheard of, but it raised a lot of red flags for some people. Then people started noticing that children kept going missing around his estates. Nothing much could be done, since most of his victims were from lower-class families that couldn't risk speaking up against France's war hero. Almost a decade later, Gilles gets arrested for something completely unrelated to the missing kids. He got kidnapping a cleric over a dispute. He got mad at the dude and kidnapped him, and he got caught.
This sounds really familiar. I think it's a different dude, but I think a lot of times when people get a dispute with the cleric, they'd be like, I'm abducting you. I definitely heard a different guy do this.
Come
get in the bag.
Like, because, like, my thing is, like, if you're mad at somebody, you either want to beat them up or put them away from you. I'm going to hold you with me.
Car.
Yeah, you're get the carriage. You're mine now.
So, during what they called an ecclesiastical trial, multiple people testified saying that they saw his servants dumping bodies into the river.
Oh my god.
when threatened with torture, Gilles admitted to the torturing and killing of over 100 children over the past decade.
Holy shit.
And was promptly sentenced to simultaneous hanging and burning.
Oh my god. Hey, Basir's sister having fun yet? Jesus.
I always get the death one.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Oddly enough, this is the weirdest part. After displaying a calm composure during his execution, Gilles became a model of Christian penitence.
I don't
want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody.
It's too on the nose.
But that adds up.
Okay, but look. His execution day became a holiday where parents celebrated by whipping their kids to, quote, impress upon them the gravity of the sins for which he had repented.
My God.
And that's October 26th, if you're curious.
Why?
I have to go home so my dad can beat me for the special day.
It's Gilles
like
Day.
At the ass end of Libra season. Like, come on, man.
What the fuck? Hey, good job, France.
Apparently, the tradition lasted for several generations.
Oh my god!
Imagining like the beginning, like the origins of that holiday, like, and the formation of those traditions. Like, I'm imagining like a gaggle of 20 parents just in the public square.
The ceremonial belt.
Get your kids. Get the belt.
Bring out the kids.
Oh my god!
Like, no, that's
fucked up, man. That's fucked up. The holiday's fucked up, but the reason they did it, super fucked up.
You know, I'm kind of glad because I think it's just more of a human thing rather than an American thing. You learn a long lesson.
No, that's a good point. It does make me feel a little better.
I don't like the idea that like he was getting hung and burned and somebody in the audience was like, damn, he's awfully calm about it. Yo, he's a badass. Well, we should have a holiday after him.
What a modelly Christian.
Wow.
He's some kid, like you were saying with the Hawkeye thing earlier. Oh, wow.
Wow. I want to be hung and burned.
No.
That would kind of be like if after the R. Kelly trial,
if we had a new holiday where we all pissed on our kids.
Oh no!
That's like the equivalent, right? I mean, you said R. Kelly. You brought it. You put it in my head.
I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucked up, man.
It is. It is fucked up.
And then he would get a holiday too. He would probably make a remix.
Can I just say, we don't endorse this gentleman.
No, not at all.
I just want to get ahead of this.
This is very obviously an anti-R. Kelly podcast.
I was talking
about the Frenchman.
Oh, yeah, that too. These are killers we're talking about.
We fucking love R. Kelly, and I think that trial is a fucking sham.
Which one?
All of them.
We have commercial breaks we could take.
You're killing me with this shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, guys, he's fought for his motherfucking life. All right?
Robert.
Robert Kelly. Okay. Moving on. Researchers have a couple of theories as to what caused the sudden spike in serial killings.
It became cool.
Yeah.
I'm more curious as to why I stopped in 1999 on the dot. That's a conspicuous year to quit.
Y2K scared the shit out of people.
I was
going to
say, yeah, clearly that's what spooked him.
The villain stopped for a moment.
It really brought us together.
Okay, sorry. So one of the factors, the Interstate Highway Act of 1956. So basically, President Eisenhower, who, if you remember from my last episode, died in Route 1, signed the bill that would jumpstart the interstate highway system, allowing people to travel quickly across the nation. So you know when? Like,
so it was the goddamn government. That did. Is that what you're getting at?
At the end of the day, John. Yes.
Hell yeah.
So you know when, like, you're playing like a battle royale, like Fortnite, and somebody just like wanders out of render distance when you're trying to snipe them.
Sure.
The highway system basically gave you like a new graphics card and you could see everything. So killers now could see and have access to a lot of different areas.
Now, yeah, I think it should be noted. They couldn't see more, Jeremy. They could go faster.
Right.
Contextually, like before that, like, men, if they wanted to be serial killers, could murder someone and go like over the hill,
right,
the Grand Hill, right, on the other side.
Just go towards the horizon, you'll be okay.
Yeah, dude. Oh, anyone who left the horizon was dead or never coming back. Like,
so another factor, crime in general was rising just naturally, right. Much like we're seeing now after the season one of COVID. Crime in the 70s naturally grew. Many attribute this to the cultural and sexual revolutions happening during this time. People were protesting, doing drugs, having sex. In short, regular people now had the means and social opportunity to be rowdy.
So you think that crime is cool? Like,
it became more accessible.
Okay.
Because like
you named a bunch of cool stuff. People were having drugs. People were fucking.
Well, because like the 70s was really, and the 60s were a time of like revolution where like you could do things out of the social norm.
Yeah.
Because before then it was a lot of like very conservative shit.
Just killing all blonde women who remind you of your mother.
And people went off the deep end with it. They took it too far. Another debated factor, lead. Like the element.
Right.
So in the 80s and 90s, crime was fucking insane, and researchers found a correlation between crime rates and lead exposure in certain communities.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yes.
I have heard this.
High blood lead levels can lead to developmental delays and behavioral issues, which increases the likelihood of criminal behavior. So, like, and this is, like, before, like, Flint, Michigan had their whole thing. But, like, generally, like, water systems were just not great.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but it also sounds so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Something's
what happened? Literally. There was something in the water.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Legitimately.
Quite literally. That's so fucking.
And another factor, World War II. Famous murderers such as John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Ted Bundy all had one thing in common. They were all born during World War II.
Okay. Mm.
Each of their fathers fought in the war and more than likely came back with PTSD, which wasn't a diagnosis up until the 80s.
Uh-huh. Right.
Also, these were white guys in the 40s.
Jesus
so
Christ.
Of course.
How was it not?
It's a high probability they were assholes.
This is a tangent. But
yeah,
like, how the fuck did you not notice a pattern? Wow, everyone we sent off the war sure just come back fucked up.
I don't see it.
Well,
it's always been like this.
We got some more oil back, so I don't see the issue here.
Calm down. Drink some water.
All that being said, children that were predisposed to be violent grew up in violent households, became violent in their teens, and ended up as killers in their adult lives, i.e. the 70s and 80s.
I got it from you, Dad.
In the lead.
Take sip.
I hate my father and I'm very hydrated.
They were just drinking angry juice.
I love the interstate.
But it makes the water in America makes people angry. Got chemicals in the water turning the frogs gay.
Boy, if it's not bread making us think we see demons, it's fucking water making us think that we need to kill people.
We're going to answer Asara's next question after the break.
All right, park it by window. I want to be able to see it where I'm sitting down. You know what I'm saying? All right, I appreciate it. There's a fiver in it for you. Jeremy, baby, how's it going?
Hey, Babula, John, my baby.
That's a nice cashmere coat, Jeremy. Yes. It's a good fit.
Yes, my wife bought it for me.
Oh, wow, you got a wife.
No, I don't.
Oh, well.
You get them and you lose them.
Okay, you know, I like to tell people that the money we got from that book promotion we did for K.E. Andrews, The Assassin of Grins and Secrets, didn't change us.
Uh-huh.
But I feel good, man.
Man, I got married once.
I know. That was great. It was a wild week. Yes, and you know what? Oh, hold on. Sorry. My Motorola Razor's ringing.
Oh, shit. The new one?
Elon, babe, what is it? No, I'm sorry. I don't want to promote your new rocket ship.
Is that Elon?
Well, I think you're a douchebag, so I don't want to be associated with you.
John, but space.
Yeah, Thursday? Yeah, I can play Minecraft. All right, sounds good. Sorry, Jeremy. I just, you know.
You play Minecraft with Elon Musk?
Oh, man, I play Minecraft with everybody these days, Jeremy. I've made so much money. The book has been a big hit, Jeremy.
Really?
Yes, because it came out and it sold exorbitantly well.
Whoa.
And yes, and our royalties. Why are you acting shocked? We literally just talked about how you got so rich that a woman found you attractive.
Money makes me forget, John. That's why she left me.
I'm sure there's, sorry, my razor's ringing again. Hello, Spielberg, how's it going?
Spielberg?
Oh, you want me to be in your... Oh, man. I would love to be in your Forrest Gump sequel.
What?
But I can't because I'm too busy. Well, I'm writing the screenplay for the adaptation for The Assassin of Grins and Secrets by K.E. Andrews. Have you heard of it? Oh, well, that's because you're an old shit, okay? I could talk to him like this.
John.
I have money now.
Oh, okay.
Well, since you want to know, since apparently you don't go on Twitter, it follows the story of an assassin seeking revenge for her ravaged homeland, as she teams up with her enemy son and loyal servant to destroy him from inside the safety of his own walls.
It's really good, Steven.
Yeah, it's called a twist. You're not supposed to see it coming.
What would he know?
Well, it's good. You should read it. What is that, Eve? What do you mean you're too busy reading scripts? You don't make movies anymore, Steven. All right, wait, I gotta go.
Can you send him my screenplay?
I can't, Jeremy.
Oh.
I'm too busy rereading The Assassin of Grins and Secrets.
It's that good.
It is. I bought it both on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Oh, shit.
Because it's available on both. And I bought it with the money I made from the royalties from reading the promotion.
Literally, you have no excuse not to have access to it.
I will buy you several thousand copies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's a lie. I'm very stingy. But you should go buy it with your own money.
My money?
Yes, your own. No, Jeremy, to the people we're talking to.
Oh, okay, yeah, your money.
Jesus Christ. No, their money.
Our money.
Okay. Listen, it's out now. If you missed the last couple episodes we promoted it, you didn't get a chance to pre-order it, and you can never undo that. So now write that wrong and just go buy it.
Just go get the book.
Just go get the book.
It's good, I promise.
It must be good. It's made me exorbitantly rich. Did you hear how I spoke to Elon Musk?
And I am virtually unlovable, and it got me married.
For like 3 days.
For like three
That's
days.
That's pretty good.
It's honestly a new record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God, I'm thinking about how rich this promotion is going to make us.
Oh my God, man. I'm already feeling it.
No, my God. I'm going to buy Jeff Bezos and then throw him.
I'm going to buy a new wallet to keep all my money in.
Ooh, that's down there. You can probably already do that now, Jeremy.
Can I? I don't
probably.
Think so.
I'm just going to keep buying insulin.
Okay, so her next part of the question says, has there been a decline in serial killing activity, or are we just not hearing about it? Yes, there has been a drastic decline in serial killing since the 80s spike. According to Radford University, the U.S. had about 768 serial killers in the 80s. As of the 2010s, that number has declined to nearly 117 known serial killers.
Are they, have they just gotten super good at finding them? Are people beating their kids less? Is the water better?
Water's better. Water's most places.
That's good.
Yes. People are still getting beat. Children are still getting beat.
You know, it's so weird how the decline in serial killing happened at the same month that the Brita Corporation was founded. That's so weird.
Wait till you hear about the Chiquita Bananas.
Oh, man.
That one got Dayson.
I'm sorry. We don't talk about the banana wars. Not the banana wars.
Oh, man.
Okay, so experts think the number decreased because serial murder is harder to get away with. Now that we have more advanced forensic and DNA measures, investigators can solve decades-old murders by tracing samples and comparing them to their living relatives.
Is that what I said? Is that the first thing I said? Was it harder now?
Yeah.
Damn, she should have just asked me. I could have had her in and out. We didn't have to do this whole episode about it.
There was one I read about that this guy had murdered a bunch of people, I think, in the 80s. And then lived his entire life just doing fuck all.
Yeah.
And then they police had reopened the case because of some true crime show on Netflix or something.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And they started doing like DNA sampling and shit. And they found it like on some sort of like ancestry DNA, whatever service. And they got like different relatives and they kind of just started like weeding them out until they came down to him.
Did he put his DNA?
No, not him specifically. But they kind of like, through his relatives who did,
right,
pinned it down to him.
Imagine getting the knock on the door because your cousin decided to do 23andMe, and now you got a federal case.
Sir, my name is Detective Johnson. You have 4 cousins in Brazil, and you're under arrest.
Congratulations.
Time to go to Brazil.
That's one of the questions they ask you on 23andMe. Have you murdered somebody?
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's not.
Okay, you dead ass.
You'd be shocked how many people would say yes to that. The amount of people who would be like, well, if they're asking, it must be fine.
Yeah. They said they can't report this information.
It's not cops on the other side of the screen.
We got another one, boys.
That's the question your FBI agent puts down his coffee. He's like, oh.
Well, if you look at the branding for 23andMe in the smallest possible font after and me, it says PD. It's legal. It shouldn't. It seems like a gotcha, but it's legal.
Oh, no. What do their police cruisers look like?
They look like, well, they actually just drive regular cop cars.
Oh.
I don't want to get into the state and local ordinance of the 23andMe police department, all right?
Okay, but it's also harder to be...
they only have 24 staff members.
Oh, my God.
They won't tell us who the titular and me is, though.
It's a communal title.
They like you to decide. Yeah. When you're like, who's the and me? They're like, interesting. What do you think?
No, no. But it's also harder to be an easy target of a serial killer. Now that we have the vaccine, I mean, smartphones that know your every thought and decision, it's harder to disappear without people noticing.
I sure would love to buy some Microsoft products.
Also, that being said... Police kind of suck at solving murders.
Yeah.
According to the FBI, only about 60% of murders are quote unquote cleared or solved. Meaning, if you murder somebody, there's a 40% chance the police just won't figure it out.
40% of the time, the police go, damn, dude, I don't know. Fuck, he really got away with this one.
God.
And this is the part where the whole Gabby Petito thing comes up.
Oh, yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So during that case, the police found the bodies of 6 other missing people that they weren't even looking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shouldn't we not just have people doing these sweeps
full time?
Yeah.
You would think so.
So why is this not just the thing we do?
I don't know. It's just like I guess police departments have a history of
just doing the bare minimum in terms of like searching for a missing person. And after a certain amount of time, they're just like, if they don't turn up, then they're probably dead.
It'd be a weird job though, right?
Yeah.
Like, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, well, I'm part of the skeleton crew. It's like,
oh God.
Is that like at night?
No.
Not really. No,
quite literally.
You have a family member that disappeared 20 years ago?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, well, I find them.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How?
A rake, usually.
It's really just me. It's a skeleton crew.
Okay, to answer the second part of Asara's question, are we just not hearing about them? Even though there aren't as many happening, serial killers are still very active, and there's as many as 50 at large right now in the U.S.
That's wild. That doesn't come up at all.
At all.
Yeah.
In New York, there's the Long Island serial killer, who's had 10 victims between 96 and 2010.
Oh, my God.
Most of the victims were escorts who advertised on Craigslist.
Oh, no.
And again, police were looking for a missing person and ended up finding 10 bodies.
Holy shit. I wonder how many missing bodies there are on Long Island alone.
Probably a lot. Probably it's Long Island.
This is a very Long Island.
Yeah.
And in Jennings, Louisiana, there's the, quote, Jeff Davis 8 killers, who I'm sure are very obviously the police. All 8 victims were women and police informants who knew each other and were even reporting on the murders as they were happening.
Oh, my God.
I don't think those were serial killings. I think that was probably a cover-up.
Yeah. It sounds like a very elaborate game of Among Us.
There's a new serial killer loose. And some cop was like, yeah.
Crazy, right? We're on the case, though.
Well, the problem is we just keep finding too many damn bodies.
It just slows us down.
It's kind of fucked up. You ever know someone who went missing? Me neither. But there's just all these goddamn bodies.
I got a great idea. What if we just stop looking for bodies?
Oh, man. That would. We stopped testing, all the COVID cases went down. So I think you're onto something.
Exactly. Yeah. When the numbers look good, that means we're doing good.
Yeah.
60%.
Okay, so, and the final part of your question, Asara, serial killer conspiracies. So I became a little curious as to the statistics of serial killings and disproved some of my own misconceptions. I thought most serial killing victims were women, but it's actually a very even split between men and women, women making up a slightly larger 51.4% of all serial murder victims.
So does that mean that the cool guy killers that we all love and want to fuck are just the ones that happen to be predominantly killing women?
Yes.
I think that says a lot.
I was going to say that is. We need to sit down, guys.
Yeah, I don't think that's an accident.
I also thought serial murder was largely a white people thing. It is. But black people are still somehow overrepresented as victims. Black Americans make up 13.3% of the population, but 24% of all serial murder victims.
Jesus Christ.
Damn. Yeah. In terms of age, the most popular age group to be a victim are those between 20 and 29 years of age. So, like, us.
Damn.
Sure.
What'd I do?
Ugh, I wish, man.
In terms of conspiracies, one that kept popping up was the Smiley Face Murders, also known as the Smiley Face Killings, or Smiley Face Gang.
Hmm.
Pick one.
This is...
Over a few different Midwestern states, young men were repeatedly found dead in bodies of water between the 90s and 2010s. Smiley faces were found at multiple suspected dumping sites, but what also ties the murders together are the circumstances leading up to their deaths. So almost every victim was white, college-age male, who had left a party or bar after drinking, and most fit a profile of being, quote, popular, athletic, and successful students.
Boys, we are all safe.
Yeah, I was about to say, we good, homie. We're good.
A criminal profile named Pat Brown brought up a good point that I agree with. The smiley faces probably hold no significance whatsoever. If you go down to any secluded body of water and there's a concrete surface that you can spray paint on, chances are somebody has already painted some graffiti down there, and literally everyone knows how to paint a smiley face.
Sure.
One thing that did connect some of the victims, however, is the presence of roofies in their system, meaning that they were drugged before they were supposedly drowned.
Okay.
As for me, much like the average conspiracy, mine is based on basically nothing.
Good.
I believe it's only a matter of time until we have a prolific serial killer who only kills bad people, vigilante style.
No, they already did that. It was called Dexter.
That's the show, though. I'm talking about real life. IRL, John.
Ugh, that's so boring because Dexter already did it.
Dexter.
I don't care if he did. Dexter already did this.
This guy would kill people like murderers, rapists, Sonic fans, and whoever invented school.
You can't just slide that in there. Hold on now.
Jason, please take to the mic and plead your case.
Why should you be allowed to live?
Oh, my God.
Because Sonic fandom, first off, best fandom ever. I'm joking. I will not die on that hill. But God damn it. I don't know. God damn it. I like fast speed
now,
Sonic.
Yeah, Jeremy, you can't give us people for liking stuff. Now, Sonic developers.
Oh, that is fair. They deserve what's coming to them.
They should be persecuted to the full extent of the law. The gamer law.
Which is worse.
It usually just means you get like...
harassed, doxxed, swatted.
Yeah.
Swatted.
Yeah, or they just call you the N-word.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's,
regardless of your race.
Regardless. It's but it's still offensive. It's still not okay.
So there's been a couple of cases where a guy will like look up child sex offenders and either harass or kill them. Especially if they're related to the victim, but they tend to get caught very easily because like they're right next to it. My all-time favorite serial killer conspiracy is described on Wikipedia as follows. Quote, the Ted Cruz Zodiac Killer meme is an internet meme which circulated in 2015. A facetious conspiracy theory, the meme suggests that Ted Cruz, a United States senator and former 2016 U.S. presidential candidate, is the Zodiac Killer, an unidentified serial killer active in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Cruz, born in 1970, could not have committed these murders, which began before his death. Circulators of the meme do not generally believe that he was a Zodiac killer. Citing the absurdity of its premise, NPR wrote that the meme captured, quote, a feeling that they have about Cruz. They think he's creepy, and they want to point that out as clearly as they can, end quote.
My favorite Ted Cruz conspiracy is that he's actually Kevin from The Office.
Oh, my God. I'd be, did Kevin from The Office eat boogers on a debate stage?
Probably.
Ugh. Did Ted Cruz do that?
He did it once. You know how like sometimes you have like a loogie that comes up? Or like sometimes you exhale a little like too hard.
And it kind of just like,
It came out of his nose. Like it just like literally like it just a little out of his nose. And it fell into his onto his bottom lip. Now he was at a critical intersection at that moment.
Oh no.
He could either blow right and just let it would acknowledge that it's there but
respectful option
right
the one that says I value me
right
but he chose the latter. He ate the shit.
He sucked.
Isn't it a bummer though like, that's his most humanizing moment?
Like he waited until the end of his like his sentence, licked his lips, and then you saw his mouth like gesture, and it's just like, that stop.
Gives me Mike Zuckerberg vibes.
So yes, he's very much the Zodiac Killer. Yes, we do not.
What makes this theory even better is that it actually got to people. In 2016, public policy polling asked Florida voters if they thought Ted Cruz was a Zodiac Killer. 10% said yes.
Oh my God!
And 28% said, "I'm not sure."
I kind of mad respect those people. The ones who are like, well, I need to read more.
I need to look more.
He could be. I don't know.
I wonder how many people, that's the first time they ever heard this, when being asked this question.
Could Ted Cruz?
Yeah, you're reading it. What party did you vote for last time? Democrat. What do you feel like you vote in the upcoming election? Yes. Do you believe Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer? Oh my God. I don't know.
I don't have any information that says he's not. So, maybe.
Oh my God. So this is a little off topic. We just crushed that question so hard. We had some extra time. And there's something that's been on my mind that it's probably going to alienate some people because of the topic. God. It's not bad. It's just I don't know how many people care aside from me. But there was a recent time in which Dayson was supposed to come on the show and there was a scheduling mishap and he was unable to make it. And Jeremy, you referred to Dayson as a Sonic 06 apologist.
Yeah.
We never got to have that conversation. And that was honestly like 15 episodes ago.
Yes.
And I feel very robbed. It's never come back up.
Well, I mean.
let me give some context. Can I set the stage a little bit?
Okay. Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog is a video game character. You've probably seen him if you've never played one of his games. It was very popular in like the 90s, and people generally agreed this is good. And then scientists discovered the third dimension, and they were like, bet we'll bring Sonic into this. And that was probably 25 years ago, and they've never seemed to really figure it out with him. Unlike his compatriots such as Mario,
right.
Zelda, anything.
Kirby.
Any game made by a 14-year-old on Unity. Like they've never quite cracked the code, right? Yeah. Particularly in 2006, they're like, all right, okay, it's gone bad, guys. This is an HQ. It's gone real fucking bad. We need to do a fresh reboot. We had a bunch of stuff that didn't work. What should we do? And someone was like, let's try it again, but let's just call it a reboot. And they're like, that's excellent. We're going to do that.
Yes.
And they came up with it's just called Sonic the Hedgehog. It was, at the time, next gen, finger air quotes.
Released on the 360 and on the PS3.
And the PS3, yeah. Then new consoles. And it has been, since then, dubbed Sonic 06, because there's a bunch of games called Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
This came out in 2006. It's probably the worst one they ever made. And almost sunk the franchise in a lot of ways. And Dayson apologizes for this.
Okay, so when I wrote that in my notes...
For this art crime.
I referred to him as a Sonic 06 apologist. I wrote that before thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I just want to call Dayson out in my notes.
Just want to call Dayson out.
But then I wrote it and I was like, he is a 06 apologist, isn't he?
I defend my...
Jeremy, we've set the stage. Let's let Dayson take the podium.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have been lied to. You have been duped. You have been bamboozled. I do like the game. I do. I
get
out.
Whoa.
Now, let me set the stage for you. I'm sorry. I'm just flustered. Okay, I loved, like, my big thing with the Bonic 06 was that, to me, this was the age of gaming and internet before we were, like, heavy into reviews, heavy into media criticism in the ways right. that we are now.
You okay. just kind of bought it.
You just kind of, like, people would buy the Madagascar Wii video game and expect an immersive, I say that because I that was me.
It's just like, but I'm there with a giraffe who's David Schwimmer.
I mean, Gloria's voice actor isn't the same here.
Boy, that really disillusioned a lot for me as a kid. Yes. Oh, when the movie video games didn't have the same voice actors, yeah. I was like, wow.
Who are these people? I don't know these characters.
I can't play this game anymore. But, you know, outside of that disillusionment, you know, you didn't have a community of people saying, hey, this thing bad. And we all agree, thing bad. And we should not see thing replicated ever in society. Now for me. I come from a big family. I never, like, I always had to share my game systems. I take what I can get.
Understandable.
The floor is very low for
yes,
me.
Yes, understandable.
Obviously, here I am defending Sonic 06 in the year, Lord and our Savior 2021. Oh, hallelujah. To me, it was like, okay, yeah, I finally get my boy, my blue blur that I used to throw hands with on Brawl. I finally get him in a new medium, in a new space, and he looks, at the time,
the graphics
HD.
Were good. Yeah.
Some of them, yeah.
And then, you know, now, did 10 and 11-year-old Dayson feel some weird contingencies at points in the story? Yes. Quite notably, the ending scene when a humanoid makes out with a hedgehog that is...
A real human woman kisses Sonic Chili Dog the Hedgehog.
Chili Dog.
They're in love.
Their
power of love saves the timeline from a Kang the Conqueror esque being that can exist in the past, present, and future.
Also, there's a white guy from the future. Sorry, Silver.
Well, everyone in the Sonic franchise is white, it seems like.
Not Shadow, he's black.
Is he?
He had a gun in his game. Like,
he could say damn when he died.
I think Shadow the Hedgehog as a game simultaneously doesn't get enough praise and or enough hate.
Slander.
Yeah, if people don't come after it enough or talk about how it was actually fun enough.
This is what should be on the presidential debates.
Oh my God.
How do you feel about Sonic the Hedgehog 2006?
Well, I'd like to say that game is boo-boo garbage.
Boo.
Now, what you won't hear my opponent say, because he's being paid off, is that Shadow the Hedgehog was a good game.
Hey, John Thornton was paid by Sega.
Jason, I think that's a good reason to like it.
Like, my, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I still, no, now no, don't no, get no. me wrong. No, I am aware. I am
you,
very much aware. I have not picked up an Xbox 360 controller and rebooted that game since. Now, have I played the soundtrack in the background of my video game time all right. sometimes?
All right. But, so the soundtrack. I do, no, like, listen, I do listen, like the soundtrack.
Jason, if I'm following you, what you're basically saying is you're not saying it's good. You're saying you like it.
Yes.
I can vibe with that.
It has a place in my heart.
That's,
as it's
can,
okay.
You can't help what you like, Jeremy.
Okay.
Look at us talking to you. Like, you know,
no,
what I
did
mean?
Not co-sign is, that. Y'all have a good week.
Do you like me? I don't get it.
I can't help it. That's what I'm saying.
Aww.
Like, I put Aww. You fuck off. Also, I Jason, I'm with you on the whole, like, we didn't go to reviewers as much. Mm. Part of that is I think $60 was a little cheaper, like, back 2006. Yeah. $60 didn't go quite as far as, or went further than $60 does now, so it wasn't, like, a huge commitment.
Right.
Now, if a
right.
game's like, that'll be $20, I'm like, woo, okay, well. Okay.
And a battle pass on top of that?
Yeah, this game or eat. Interesting.
Right.
I don't know if y'all have experienced this. This is really off topic. We'll call this Boys After Hours.
Boys After the Case.
After the case. Boys After the Case. We're back in the office. We solved it. We cuffed them. You know?
We went out for drinks. We came back.
Uh-huh. We were talking about Sonic 06. I sometimes, if I really like a game, I will refuse to go look at what people online are saying
yeah.
because I will inevitably walk away with a worse opinion of that game and have a hard time enjoying it as much as I did.
That was me with Halo 5.
I think that's me with literally any video game. Like, I recently started playing League of Legends on the phone. I'm not going to talk about it. Don't worry.
It's all good.
But after I started getting into it, I was like, I want to see what do people think about this game? And generally, it's pretty positive. But I now, every time I go browse social media, I run that risk where I can see a criticism of the game that makes me go, you're right, I don't like that. And now I just don't like it as much, right? It doesn't affect me.
Right.
But it's just like, you know. Also, Sonic 06 has retroactively gotten, I think, way more hate than it ever did when it launched.
Yeah.
Sonic's hate came out like 10 years after the fact.
It did.
Like, you gotta remember, too, like, it was almost like a trend amongst, like, gaming channels and media criticism channels to talk about Sonic 06. Like, a movie
yes.
review channel talked about Sonic 06.
It became a meme.
And it was like, it was a trend at the time, but, like, you know. It's funny. I guess it's part of the allure of being a Sonic fan. Like, you have the cringy kids that will always be like, oh, this is the community, me, 24-year-old man.
I think there was, like, there's, like, a period of, like, 5 years from, like, a game that you play in your childhood to where, like, you grow up and you're like, oh, shit, I love this game as a kid. And you go back to it, and then you realize that it's absolute heart garbage.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with Sonic 06. People went back to it and thought, oh, wow, this is actually bad. How did I not remember this?
Yeah.
I actually think it's probably more the fact that Sonic's meme potential has only escalated with time.
That too.
And so when it's time to talk about it, cash in on that, you got to go to the infamous title, right?
You got to get the haymaker.
Which is wild because I think Sonic Boom is way worse of a game.
Sonic Boom and Sonic Forces do not get enough slander.
But in Sonic Forces, can't you make your own character?
Oh, your own OC.
Yeah.
Let's pander to the deviant art crew in goddamn 2020. Like,
careful, Jason. They might hear you.
What am I going to get my own OC, huh?
I think Sonic 06 is a better game than Boom because it, while Boom is like, we're trying something new, it also painfully retreads like everything Sonic's ever done.
Yeah.
Also, it's really empty. It's just like, it's hollowing. Like, you walk through, I haven't played it, but I've seen people play it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be like a big open area and there's just nothing. Yeah. And it's like, why are we here? They also tried to like give the other characters character, but while mm-hmm. doing so, diminished everyone's character. And also took away Sonic's one thing, which is I'm fast, because everyone keeps up the whole time. You know what I mean? I agree with you, Jason. I think Forces and Boom, I mean, they must have fucked up. There hasn't been a new Sonic game in a long time.
They came out with like some collector's thing, but I think Sega's thing with Sonic IPs, because the community's so split, you have like the, because of the Sonic 06 triads, they have more of the opinion that it needs to stay in a 2D realm because the games kind of sell more and the community, I guess part of the community likes that more. With me, I came into Sonic when the 3D was the new thing, like Sonic DX, Adventure 2, mm-hmm. Heroes, Rider. I'm not going to keep listening. but it, you know, to me, that was the norm. But like, I still see the allure with it. I still suck at 2D Sonic games because no save. And I then, but
I really feel because I played Sonic Adventure 2 a lot as a kid on GameCube. I feel like there's a good game in there.
Yeah.
I don't know why they've never just been like, okay, we kind of figured it out. Let's just make it actually playable this time. And rebuild it as that. Like if they did like a remaster of Sonic Adventure 2 and made it like not buggy to all fuck.
Like the audio music in the background gets louder than the dialogue.
Exactly. tightened up some of these like dialogue things, stuff like that. I think there's a good game in there.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why every time like, okay, we fucked it up. Let's make a new one and rush it.
Try something different.
Yeah. Maybe the developers think they have to go fast.
It's internalized. Gotta go fast as everywhere. The corporate building.
I was about to say, I thought like Sega's co-opting it with 343 Industries.
Oh, God. That's a whole other thing.
Speed running game development.
Do you feel like you have properly been given the chance to defend yourself?
I feel. And I feel like any slander past this point is still deserved. But I've said my piece.
Justice was served.
Justice was served.
Was it?
Yeah, sure.
It's America.
This is a systemic problem, though. They keep making them.
That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. This was Dayson's ability to defend himself against a slanderous thing that you said about him when he wasn't here.
It's not slander if it's true.
I don't think that's how slander works.
It is.
I thought slander was just anything aimed at purposely diminishing a person's reputation or credibility.
One of the criteria is that it has to be false.
Is that true?
Yes. That's defamation.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, then how about this? Just lay off him. Shit.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, yeah, how about you shut the fuck up?
I'm sorry.
Your Honor, objection. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, all right, my bad.
I'll allow it.
Well, thank you guys for listening. This was Boys on the Case. If you got a question for us, you can send it to our email at boysonthecase@gmail.com. Or you can go to our splash page at anchor.fm/boysonthecase and send us a nice little voice message. Or if you're listening on Spotify, you can scroll down and you can either put your question in there or you could just be a good person and, you know, do all three.
Or if you know us, you can just text us.
Or just text us.
We've never said that in the show, but I don't care. If you know me, just hit me up.
But yeah, thanks for listening.
Before we go, I think it's time to start promoting this. Our Christmas is coming up.
Oh yeah.
That means we have to promote the war on Christmas.
Oh shit.
World Christmas War 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do another comment. What did you call it, Jeremy? A watch along.
A watch along. Yeah.
A watch along we did for Halloween. We're going to do Jingle All the Way again.
Oh lord.
Cuz that movie was so fucking good the first time around and I haven't watched it since. I felt a strong urge and I waited to see if it's still good. Or if it just was an oasis of the vast empty desert of Tim Allen and Vince Vaughn.
That's funny.
I'm waiting to see. I was talking to Sam earlier today.
Uh-huh.
She was reminding me of our theory that Christmas of the Cranks is a time loop and Tim Allen's character is in hell. And he's being made to relive this week over and over and over again.
I can see that, yeah.
And that the linchpin to our theory was that the end of the film is this panning boom shot that like leaves the window. It shows Tim Allen, it leaves through the window and goes up to the roof, right? Into the skyline. And then that one of the snowmen turns to the screen, has red eyes. And we thought, we were like, that's Tim Allen's soul leaving his body so that the simulation can reset.
Oh, no.
I forgot about that. I just wanted to share.
Yeah.
That is like Lovecraftian horror.
Dude, go everyone go watch Christmas with the Cranks and tell me it's not a horror film. Do it right now.
All right. Well, thank you, Dayson, for coming on this week.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And Sonic, thanks you as well. I speak for the Sonics.
Wow. Thanks, Boys on the Case.
Chili dog.
Chili dog.
We'll see you guys next week.